revealing shadows, or shadows that reveal things to us. You know, the Bible is just full of good stuff, scrumptious stuff. It's exciting, and if we understand God's word, we are always excited. But I want to start, if I could, in Ezekiel chapter 11. Give your Bibles. If not, I'll put it up here on the screen for you. And it says, therefore, say, this is Ezekiel, God speaking, telling Ezekiel what to say. He says, therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Although I sent them far away, that's the Israelites, although I sent them far away amongst the nations and scattered them amongst the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore, say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel again. And so these were God's people. They were brought out of Egypt, and they were given the promised land, and they had a wonderful history there, but they kind of messed things up, and they got scattered throughout the nations, conquered by the Babylonians and Syrians and everybody else. And yet it says, even though they had this horrible history, yet wherever they went, God still was with them. He didn't completely let them go. And he promised that he was going to bring them back. But now, this is about the nation of Israel. And their nation was destroyed. It was plundered. People were forced into slavery, and they were scattered throughout the nations. We talked about that. Now, normally, that would be the end of that society. And there's been a lot of societies, a lot of nations, a lot of countries, a lot of peoples that have disappeared from history. No one knows what happened to them. Normally, that would be the case, but it wasn't the end for the Jews, because God always maintained a remnant. And he was this sanctuary over them. In other words, he was this kind of protector. He made sure that they continued. And then he gave them this promise to restore them to their land. And that's happened. The significance of all this, though, is that these events foretell what will happen to our lives. They're shadows, parallels, to speak. And if we can understand their history, see, then we can understand, you know, what's going to happen with us. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. And I got a few scriptures today, but I just want you to see these things. You should have these marked in your Bibles. You ought to know about them anyway. It says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festivals, the new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. He's talking about, you know, don't let them judge you according to the law. He says, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And so, you know, they were a letter to us. They gave explanation of what God's work was with mankind, but they weren't it. They were just revealing something about Jesus. Paul's sharing with us that these things that you see in the Old Testament law were really about New Testament realities. You just have to be able to translate them. Old Testament realities foretold of Jesus. They're parallels of our lives. They're similes or symbolism, metaphors, allegories, expressions. How do you want to say it? And so you can glean a lot of truth for our current lives out of this Old Testament law, even though it's been fulfilled and we're no longer under it. This scattering of the Jews was a picture of Christians today being scattered around the world to every nation. Romans chapter 9, verse 8. It says, in other words, it is not... Romans chapter 9, verse 8. It says, in other words, it is not the children by physical descent. He's talking about children of Abraham. He says, in other words, it's not the children by physical descent who are God's children. Well, there's a mouthful right there. He's saying, you know, it says, in other words, it's not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. You see, Paul's revealing that it's not the physical descendants of Abraham that are God's children. They were just a shadow of God's children. They were just a representative of God's children. And if we can understand them, then we can understand, you know, a lot about our own lives. You see, if the children of it is the children of faith that belong to God, not the physical descendants of Abraham. It's those who believe upon Jesus that are the children of God. Jew or non-Jew. That's what makes you a child of God. And just like the physical descendants of Abraham were scattered around to the nations, guess what? The spiritual children, the spiritual descendants were scattered likewise. Christians are all over the world. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And so just like the Jews were taken away from Jerusalem, so were the Christians. Even though there was this attack on Christians, it scattered them, and the purpose was to send witnesses to every nation. And on the day that the church was scattered, a man named Stephen was martyred. And persecution broke out against the early church in its very infancy. And it was scattered about to the ends of the earth, so there would be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And only a remnant remained in Jerusalem. Now, in the same way that God was a sanctuary for the Jews, and this is what you need to understand, in the same way that He was a sanctuary for the Jews in the lands that He scattered them to, when He scattered them to the nation, He is a sanctuary for you today. In the nation, in the place, the town, the country, the house that you live in. The exciting part about this is the last part of the story, foretold by ancient Israel. It's yet to be revealed. It's yet to be fulfilled into our lives. Remember the physical descendants of Abraham that were scattered? Well, what happened to them? God was a sanctuary over them, but what was the end? He brought them back. That was the good news. The news wasn't that they were scattered and destroyed. The news was that they were scattered. They were a sanctuary and they were brought back. What? To be a witness to the nations. So that God could be a witness to them that He was their God. And so if the physical descendants of Abraham were scattered, and so far we've seen that everything that's happened to the physical descendants of Abraham have happened to the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And so if the physical descendants were brought back to the land, what's going to happen to the spiritual descendants? So will the spiritual descendants be brought back? We are those descendants. Only we will not be brought back to a city built by mankind. That was just a shadow. We will be gathered together with Jesus, you know, in a new Jerusalem. Built in heaven. A spiritual home. A spiritual reality. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. It says, I am coming soon. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I am coming soon. So if I say that Jesus is coming soon, would that be okay? All right, He says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them a new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so here's the deal. You see, our light and momentary troubles are almost over. Our time of being scattered amongst nations where we don't fit in is almost over. And though we have cried and whined and felt abandoned and all those things, God has always been a sanctuary over us. And this story is about ready to be wrapped up. Our light and momentary troubles are almost over. The time of our scattering is almost over. The nations where the physical descendants of Abraham were scattered, when God brought them back to Israel, those nations were destroyed. God used evil nations to refine the Jews because of their sins, and then he brought them home. And then he destroyed those nations that enslaved the Jews. And the nations that the spiritual children of God are gathered from will likewise be destroyed. For us, our time here on earth is just a time of refinement. It's the judgment that began with the house of God. And that time is almost over. God is about to gather us and destroy the nations where we live. The nations of the earth. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. See, God has a plan. He scattered us. We're in this fiery situation. We're in the land of distress, the valley of death, whatever you want to call it. But rejoice. Verse 13, but rejoice in so much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed for the spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or other kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. That's all we're experiencing. We've been cast out in these nations as witnesses, as lights. And, you know, we look like we're destitute, the ones without, made fun of, beggars on the face of the earth, disrespected, robbed, cheated, put in prisons, all kinds of things that have happened. We keep shooting for the top, but somehow we're always knocked to the bottom. God tells us we're the head, not the tail, but we live lives that make us look like the tail every single day. And so for us, this is just the time of judgment. This is the time of our refinement. So that as the world mocks us, you know, then God's going to make His name known. For it is a time of judgment to begin with God's household, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? You see, you're living in the dispensation of our scattering. That's why life is so tough. It's a time of our refinement. It's a time when we're separated from the things that separate us from God. And so we discover that indeed God is our God. So that we discover that God is our sanctuary. So that we come to that place where we're no longer, you know, entertain any delusions about that. That's what this great suffering does for us. It's a time of refinement. It's a time that we suffer the fires of refinement. And if we who are the righteousness of Christ, righteousness of God in Christ, that's who we are. We're the righteous ones. And if it's like that for us, When we are the righteous ones of God, what's it going to be for those who don't know Jesus when the real judgment comes? If we who are His righteousness in Christ suffer, what suffering awaits those who reject Jesus? God refining us is a witness to the world. It should shake them in their boots. They should look and see it at the lives that we are dealt up, and then they ought to consider their own lives, what they're going to get. If the righteous ones on the earth have to live such lives as we live, then what should they be thinking about themselves? They don't, but they will. The time that you're living in is a refining time. It's a time of our judgment, a judgment that saves us. But it's almost over. For us, judgment has meant salvation. But the judgment to come will mean death. And those who have not been refined by the current judgment will be cast off as dross or waste in the coming judgment. We should weigh the kind, in light of all this, we should weigh the kind of life that we live today accordingly. Knowing that this is how these things are. We've seen it in the shadow of the Jews, and we ought to know exactly what's going to happen in our lives, in the lives of Christians. We should weigh the kind of life that we live accordingly. Go out and build houses and plant gardens and work and get married, but do it as though you're not staying. Don't put your hope in it. Judgment that destroys is coming. The destroyer is coming. God is your sanctuary, not the things of this world. And hopefully we've been able to figure that out and discover that. Hopefully the little lights have been able to go off and we've figured out that, you know what, this doesn't work over here. God alone works. Jesus is my sanctuary. God is your sanctuary, not the things of this world. Those who trust in the things of this world will be punished with it. The things of this world are going to be burnt up. And, you know, and if that's where you put your trust, you will be burnt with it. The time is near. It approaches with great speed. And so I'm not telling you to go out and sell everything and go out and sit on some mountaintop. But I am telling you to break off any love affair that you have with this world. Turn your hearts towards God. God wants to prosper you so that you can be a blessing to the person next to you. They need you. The world needs to see you prosper. They don't need to see you be so attached to the world that you panic every time something looks funny. Turn your hearts toward God, especially since we see the day of His coming approaching. Your heart should be pounding with excitement. I mean, you know, if God comes down as an angel and He comes down to the Jew who's a captive in Babylon and says, guess what, tomorrow you're going home. You're going back to the land of the free, the land of the blessed. When He came to the Israelites and he said, tonight put blood over your doorpost. Because tonight you're leaving Egypt. You're going to the promised land. Are those nights of despair? No, those are nights to be thrilled about. And our Lord is coming. Our night is almost over. The blood is over our doorposts. Enter the sanctuary and forget Egypt. Your home and your safety and your life is not in Egypt. Your heart should be pounding with excitement at the prospects of Christ's return, not shrinking back in fear. The good news is that the days of testing are almost over. That should make us glad. Because it's tough. And it seems like it gets tougher every day. God is your sanctuary. The church is His instrument. Don't drift away out there into the world doing your own thing, okay? Because not submitting to anyone or to anything, that is not a good plan for a Christian. We were made to have authority over us. We don't like it. Our sinful nature don't like it, but we were created to have an authority over us. And that authority is Jesus. And we can't function or prosper when we are not under an authority. You just can't do it. It's all a delusion. It will all come crashing down. The only thing that we build together in faith. Jesus administers his authority through the church. The church, he considers that his bride, his wife. You know, the thing he's, you know, his heart is set upon her. Not only the church is not, I mean, it's not only a pastor. A pastor is an authority in the church. Sure, elders, there's lots of authorities in the church, but a pastor is not the church. He's a member of the church. And, you know, you are not, you know, called to submit to me singularly, that type of thing, okay? But you should submit to something that's greater, and that's the church, to the body, to one another, to the person next to you, to the person behind you, the person in front of you. This is what we're called to do, you know, but we need to be in submission to one another. You submit to the body of Christ, you know, because here's the deal, see, we are sheep. And that's what that means. When it's talking about just submitting to one another, we're just saying we're gathering as a sheep, you know, a little herd of sheep. And for us to prosper, that's what has to happen. We're not like a mountain lion that lives a solitude life. That doesn't work for us. You know, if we sneak off like a lion to live a solitude life, a wolf is going to get us. Some of us look like polar bears, but we're not. That was supposed to be a light moment. We need to be in a sheepfold to survive. By ourselves, we're just food for wolves. And so don't be foolish. Don't let pride make you think that you don't need the church. People are putting so much emphasis on healthy living, healthy eating, healthy exercise, clean environment, but they neglect the one thing that they need the most. And it doesn't make any sense. There's much blame to go around for sheep living in isolation. There are many wolves. Many authorities in the church have acted like wolves. I understand all of that. Many members of the church have insulted the poor. We, you know, widows have been neglected. You know, everything that we can, every mistake we can make, we've made. But blaming others doesn't help you. And running off by yourself is definitely not going to help you. If you let yourself be isolated and picked off by wolves, or you end up in seclusion because you're submitting to the cares and desires of this world, it will be you who suffers. The fact that God is going to punish wolves isn't going to save you. You know, we're moving to a new building. I'm excited about that. You know, a building is a building. And it has advantages and it has disadvantages. Obviously, it has more advantages than disadvantages in the way that we've waited, or we wouldn't be doing it. But it can be a symbol of a new start. You know, it can be a point of contact for your faith. Have you ever just needed a new start in your life? And maybe to kick it off, you started a new activity, some sort of change. Maybe you needed a new start and you gave up cigarettes. I don't know. How did you make your new start? I bet you've made more than one of them in your life. And you commemorated it with some event. Maybe New Year's. I don't know. Maybe it was your birthday. Maybe it was when you was getting ready for your wedding. But you grabbed hold of something and you used that to hold on so that you could have a new start. And so our move can be a new start. It can be symbol of a new start. A lot of people need a new start in their lives. And a lot of people need to get their attachment or their attitude towards the church fixed in their lives. whatever your connections are to Abundant Life Family Church is, I hope that you will take opportunity to up your game. We're going to a new building. We have new excitement. We have new things to do. And we ought to just latch on to that. I mean, we've been here a long time and we've been blessed. I think that's great. But sometimes as Christians, we can just get so bored, it's hard to get ourselves up. And now we have something to be excited about. Take hold of it. You know, there's a CrossFit gym over there. And I watch people. And, you know, it isn't cheap to join CrossFit unless you compare it to doctor's bills. But, you know, there are plenty of people who pay, and they spend hours over there every week. I mean, they fill that place up on Saturdays. There are so many people over there running around the building, sweating, about ready to puke their guts out, but they're there. The only day they're not there is on Sundays. And, you know, joining a gym, it takes a commitment. If people can give up hours and hours and pay a pricey membership, you know, to do this physical thing, I certainly believe that they can commit to the church. And I think the church is more important. Now, I'm not trying to guilt anyone. I'm only trying to use this as an example. You know, it isn't a choice between one or the other. But if you think a gym membership will help you more in these days than your church will, you're messed up. And a lot of people could use a gym membership. But they could never get there. But, you know, if they would make a commitment to the church, they might find that Jesus would help them get there. That He would help them succeed where they couldn't succeed on their own. So we're not against gyms. We believe in gyms and healthy living and healthy eating and all those kinds of things. But man, if you have those things and you don't even have the church, I mean, it's just your priorities are messed up. What you think is important is messed up. People's lives are being decimated. And there's people's lives that go to that gym that are being decimated also. And the one thing that has power to help them, many times they ignore. It's just easy for us to do that. I don't know why. Many times they're thinking just screwy. And the one thing that could actually pull them back from the edge, that they're not interested in. That they fail to do. You know, and you know, their lives are, their marriages are being broke down, their families are being broke down, and you know, all they need is maybe just one Sunday sitting in the service, maybe not even having a what do you call it when you get together and talk with people, you know, counseling session, not even doing that. Maybe just hearing a right word during a sermon can pull somebody back from a disaster. But if they're not there, they don't hear it, they missed it, then they're just victims of the wolves. Because they have no reference point in their lives. And they think these other things are so important, and then the things that can really help them, they don't get. I'm betting you've gotten something from going to church. Church is not free. Living for Jesus will cost you everything. And, it's worth it. Yeah. But you will never be denied entrance. I mean, you know, just because you don't have the money to pay your bill, you can always come in the door. You know, if you have not bought into the church thing, I hope you will. I really do. It doesn't have to be Abundant Life Family Church. But you're here, so I assume that God's speaking to you here. This is where He wants you, but maybe not. You have to settle that. But whatever it is, don't use some dumb excuse not to be a part of a church. Don't be going out and just joining some church that's comfortable and for social reasons and stuff like that. You better just have the right heart about it and get involved. Give yourselves. God wants you to have all the advantages that you need. You need to be connected to His body intimately. You need it. We all need it. I need it. You know, we're continuing to make progress. over there. We're getting closer every day. We're going to have a lot of work to do after we move in, but I mean just the part we wanted to get done so we could get moved in, it's really coming along good. We have a lot of little jobs, and so don't be afraid that you don't have something to contribute. I mean, just sweeping the floors and vacuuming is a daily affair. We cleaned it all up one last weekend. Now it's all messed up again because we're in here sawing, and sawdust gets everywhere and tracked everywhere, and tools here and tools there. It's just needs constantly. And if that doesn't happen, then the people who are actually working and that are getting the technical stuff done that none of the rest of us know how to do, they have to stop to sweep floors and vacuum. And so it'd be a tremendous advantage just to have somebody come by and kind of do some of that just so the workers can keep moving at full speed. You don't have to be a professional carpenter. If you are, though, by the way, we could use you. A few rooms received their final touch-up paint this week. Praise the Lord. That was the marker point. You know, get everything done in them rooms and then do the final touch-up paint, and bam, that's done now. And you'll see them later. They still need vacuumed in that, but that's coming forward. There's only a few to go. We got a few rooms left to be touched up. We have the children's room. Is the only room left to install baseboard. All the baseboard is installed in all the rooms except for the children's room. The sink and counter is in. The TVs are hung in the large meeting room. TVs are up there. We have some doorknobs to install. It's a little technical, but it's not real bad. So that might be in your wheelhouse. We have this one door frame. I don't know what it is. It's a mystery. But when we put the sheetrock up and we sprayed mud and all that stuff, some of the mud got on this door frame. And it just washes off with water and a sponge. It's not like real technical, but for some reason, this one door frame just survives with mud on it. We had how many cleanup days and people were there scrubbing all them door frames, getting all the windows looking all shiny and stuff like that. And then I'm walking around and there that one door frame is. I don't know how it gets through every time. Someone needs to go there and attack that thing. We have some HDMI cables and stuff we need to start stringing. We still need a couple more TV mounts put up on the walls. We need to build some mobile platforms for the... We don't have a stage yet over there, so I'm not sure if we'll be able to get that done ahead before we move in or not, but we need to get it done. There's one large room that we scored. We just came up. You know, the Ibbotsons used to be our electricians, and they had a room over there they used, and of course, he passed away, and they've moved out, and we got that room all cleaned up. Well, emptied, but someone needs to go in there and scrub those floors and stuff. If you're an outdoor person, we've got some tree limbs to cut back and some bushes to trim, that kind of thing. I have some pictures. Oh, we got already putting pictures up. Is that my first picture? Is that my first one? Okay, so that's... Oh, go back to the first one. That's my first one?
Yep.
Okay, that's the children's room. And you can see that it needs a baseboard on it. And next picture. And the vacuum there was a hint. Brian Campbell got the counters in, the sinks in, it works, no leaks. And you can see that once we leave a room, people start moving stuff in immediately. So we need to get that baseboard up before everything's filled up in there. Next picture. That's the big room that we inherited here just recently. Next picture. And that's what it looks like. We got that done this week. But that floor is filthy, and we need to get in with the buffing machine. The buffer machine. Who does that? Someone knows how to do that. Next picture. Okay, here's another room. We call this our scrap room. Next picture. And that's our scrap room today. So this last week, all that was accomplished. This last week, Todd went in there after these... people came in, they moved everything out, and Todd went in there and kind of arranged it and cleaned it up. That's our, instead of our scrap room now, that's our staging room. All the stuff we're moving in, we'll move into there. We don't know what to do with, goes in there, and then we'll move it out of there into the places where it goes. Okay, next. Here's just a hallway that was so clean a week ago, but there it is now, full of sawdust and tools and whatnot. And so it's not rocket science, just somebody come in there and sweep, vacuum, whatever. Next picture. And here's a room. Now this room is baseboards done. It's the touch-up paint's done. Everything's done. But again, you can see there's things laying around. Some tape needs to be taken off the baseboards. Next picture. And same thing. This room is all finished. Baseboards down, touch-up paint and everything. But there's a tarp we put in there because we was getting sawdust everywhere. So anyway, that needs cleaned up. Next one. And this is the, I was just showing you the TV sets are up. Those cables on the floor need to be run to those TVs up in the ceiling. Next picture. And these are just some pictures of people working. There's Sydney and Jesse. They're over there. They're taking a break from, they were doing the touch-up painting. Brian's putting up TVs. That's Richard moving stuff. Next picture. This is just some of the workers over the weeks. There's the crew. They're not from our church. They came in. They're the ones that actually moved all the junk and scrap and stuff out of that the building. And they did that all in one day. Next picture. And there's just some more people working. Kayla was there. And Jared could be in every picture, okay? So I limit him because he's always in the pictures. And next picture. And here's another cleanup day. And her kids all there. Okay, next. And there's Brian working on the counter. He's looking real happy at that moment. More cleaners, hanging doors. Bob was in there somewhere, but I think Bob was on the other side of the door. Jesse wouldn't let him out. Next picture. And here again, the crews. This is back when they're carpeting. Brian's wanted to tell you peace. I guess that's what that means. And Doug's not here, but he just wanted to show you how good he looked. And next picture. This is just the crew in there working and putting carpet in and yada yada. Next picture. You'll see the old guys always kind of, they do work some, but they're standing around more than the young guys. And you got Susan in there running the roller. Next. And that was it. Praise God. So there's lots and lots of pictures, and we made a lot of progress. And but this is it. Next week. Isn't it next Sunday we're moving? So we have this week to get that mess cleaned up and the baseboard down and finish painting. And so anybody that can come help, we're there most of the time. You just have to call my cell number, call Richard or whatever it is. We'll get you in there. If you can sweep by yourself and figure that out, then you know, we'll give you a broom and just say go, and you just go down there and do what you can, and it's all good, okay? Pick up the room, vacuum, those kinds of things. How many of you know how to do that kind of stuff? How many of you can paint a little bit, a little brush? You're not even painting the walls, you're just touching up the paint, okay? That kind of thing. So just come on in and find us when we're there or call. And we're always close. I mean, you can get anywhere in 3 or 4 minutes in Creston. We'll run over and open the door and get you in there, okay? Praise God. So it's exciting. Don't forget, next Sunday will be a short, shorter service so that we can immediately turn our attention towards packing all this stuff out. The gals, there are a lot of pictures they didn't get up there. Yesterday, they were over here packing like crazy. I don't know where they got the notion to do that. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I come over here because I saw all these cars, and I come in, and there are boxes like everywhere. And I'm going, what are you people doing? We could have church here tomorrow. But somehow they got it done, got it moved, got out of here. But I was going to come back with the camera because I forgot to take pictures, and they were already done. But whatever. So there's pictures of them. A lot of them showed up and did that. That's crazy work, that kind of stuff. So anyway, we got lots and lots and lots of stuff to do, and I hope you'll make yourselves available for this week. And then next Sunday, we're close. And, and if you wear good clothes, then it's so that they can become work clothes, okay? And plan on staying to help and those kinds of things. And they want me to do communion yet. And so we have to do that. And there's going to be sandwiches or food, some sort of food. It's just going to be over there at Franklin on a table for the workers. And we're just going to, like, grab it as we go. You know, when you're hungry, you go get some food, I guess. And then... But we're going to work. We're not going to actually stop for dinner or anything. We're just going to go and get her done. I'm going to stop for dinner because someone has to supervise the dinner table. Yeah, okay. Yes. About the what? A coffee break. I don't know what he's talking about. We'll have to figure out. I don't know if we're going to have coffee next week or whether they'll have it all packed up and gone. But we're having coffee break. We're not going to have coffee next week. You already decided? Who told you that?
Mary.
Well, there you go. All right, so I guess this day was the last day to get a free cup of coffee until we're moved over there. So I'm sure we'll always have maybe a coffee pot out here or something so we can have some coffee. We're going to take communion real quick, ushers.